Now, you would have heard last week, if you were here, or if you listened afterwards on the church website, like I did, that Beth talked about Christ's manifestation to the Gentiles in the events we mark in the church calendar as Epiphany. What I most liked about Beth's sermon was her assertion that God wants to be known by everyone, and that our job is to point people to God, not to ourselves, nor even to the church. And that God shines in the darkness, and that we shine too when we are near to God, making God seen. As Beth also explained, Epiphany also means a sudden moment of clarity. My husband Darren had a moment of clarity when he was a drunk and had taken an overdose. He believed God poked him and moved him to call an ambulance and stay alive. He ended up staying in hospital for a while and then moving to a dry house and attending recovery meetings where I met him, and we gradually fell in love. It was a huge change to his life that happened at just the right time for him to accept it and commit to it. In a way, Epiphany is a type of metanoia. You might remember Andy introducing that word a while ago. I preached about metanoia in Advent, as the Greek word often translated repentance. But metanoia doesn't mean feeling guilty or being sorry for what you've done. Metanoia is about changing your understanding about what is important in the world, what's behind it, what is worth believing about it. It's about which world order you believe in. The way the world does things makes people afraid. Does this through its main agent of state, religion and capitalism. The world as we have made it makes some have too much and others too little. It uses force to kill thousands and even millions of people. This is not what God designed. Jesus often spoke against apparently respectable religion that excluded people. He also spoke against the misused power of the state. He did this most vehemently when he talked about why he was going to die. Jesus said in John chapter 2, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." Have an epiphany, we need to understand that Jesus is making all things new, drawing all people to him, bringing about an end to these powerful but evil world systems. But have we had that epiphany? Or is Jesus' incarnation just a pretty story that we put away with the tinsel and twinkly lights after Christmas? One of the criticisms levelled at progressive Christians like me is that we don't have any gritty messages. It's all lovey-dovey and fluffy, skipping through cornfields and not facing up to any of the thornier issues of sin in the Bible. But I ask you, are we functional atheists? These are people who profess a faith in God, but act as if God's power does not exist. That there is no better way. There is no change coming, and we don't need to live any differently. I ask you to really think about that, this epiphany. I think that we keep giving credit that we think is due to politics, economics, and religion that perpetuate the now. famous recovery saying that me and Darren like is that if you keep on doing what you are doing, then you will keep on getting what you are getting. What would we do if we really operate in Jesus' kingdom? Like the people filled with Holy Spirit that Paul talked about in today's epistle. I wonder whether we would take the Apostle Peter's initial approach to the world system of domination, torture and murder that was so perfectly modelled by the Roman Empire. Get our sword out. Cut off someone's ear. We are certainly doing that in relation to Putin. Or do we take the disciple Judas's approach to the world systems of official and maybe oppressive religion, as portrayed by Pharisees and so often attacked by Jesus? Do we do what we can to compromise and defer to established religious systems in order to keep the peace and maintain the status quo? It does seem like that when we are so keen to preserve so-called unity over the issue of gay marriage. Jesus emphasised love and justice over unity. It was he that upset the apple cart by turning over the tables of the money changers who ripped off poor people and excluded them from worship. It was he who said, "The establishment says, but I say." Like Judas, can we see ourselves negotiating with religion, fitting in and taking their money and their sense of respectability? I want us to really think what hope in the power and beauty of our Lord could lead us to, or away from. Turning back to our gospel reading today, why did they follow him? I can't help imagining what was in Jesus' gaze, his generous attention, his directness, his affection, his kindness. He was different and yet familiar. He spoke about a new way of life that inspired people to follow. Turning to today, why do we love him? And how do we follow him? Like Beth said last week, it's not about coming to church. It's about what sets us on fire. It's about the beauty that catches our breath. Are we living like we believe in his way? The early followers of Jesus were called the way. My Facebook cover story says, "Our hope is not in the new year, but in he who is making all." When I saw that, I had another epiphany. That's New Year before. People just seem to think that all the horrible stuff that was going on last year won't happen again. But it's Jesus that makes the horrible stuff go away. So what are you noticing about Jesus' presence in your world? How are you allowing him to make over your mindset with his good news of eternal life and everlasting connection with a God of love? I need to think about that. What are you noticing about Jesus' presence in your world, and how are you allowing him to make over your mindset with his of eternal life and everlasting connections?